You're sort of lucky that the shir is starting a little bit late, because instead of doing the hard part, we can skip the lesson part and get right to the conclusion. The goal of the shir is to take something we say every day in Tfilah, in Pesukei DeZimra, and understand it from its context, Sefer Bereshit. When we study Pesukei DeZimra, usually, in the yeshiva role, the main thing we study is what you skip when you come late. But if you follow Chumash in general, you can appreciate what's happening in Tfilah much better. And in a certain sense, the most authoritative commentary on Tanakh is the Siddur. Because if there's a theme in the Siddur, something's included in the Siddur, it's going to tell you that it must relate to something very important in Chumash. We're going to take what we call Hodu, and for the sake of the shir, I want you to put the page like this first. See the way it is, the small print? It's an eye test. See if you need glasses. Or if you're over 40. We're not going to do the whole page, don't worry. I just want to do a quick assignment instead of the whole one and ask a real simple question. Look at the first line in Tilim Kufei. I'm assuming everyone knows the Pesukim or familiar with them. Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo Diva Mema Lilotav. All rings a bell. Praise God or thank God. Call it in His name. Let the nations know about His ways and His plans. Sing to Him, etc. We say this is part of Pesukei DeZimra in the morning, either before Baruch Shem or after, depending on your Eduk Ashkenaz or Asura. That opening line, would you call that a command or a statement? Understand my question? The opening line, is that a command or a statement? Explain why it's a statement. Why would you say it's a statement? Sounds that it's good to praise God. And you say it's what? It's good advice. Good advice, God. Who says it's a command? Why? Because you know Hebrew. What is it in Hebrew? What's that called in Hebrew? A tzivui, or an imperative. It's an imperative form. The first command, second command, all the first three or four lines are commands. What I want you to find now, whenever you hear a command, there's usually someone commanding. We know that from life. I'd say for marriage, but I get in trouble. Who's being commanded? Take a look, read on a little bit. If there's a command, someone's being commanded. Look carefully who's being commanded to praise God, sing His praises, and say how great He is. What pasuk is the person who's being commanded? Avi's pasuk, verse 6. Who's being commanded? We have five command lines, and who's being commanded? Zera Avram Avdo v'Yaakov Bechira, which makes a lot of sense. Who's commanded to praise God, sing His praises, talk about Him all the time? The nation of Avram Avinu. If you've been following Chumash the last couple of weeks, Avram Avinu, what's he do for a living? He builds a mizbeach and calls out in God's name. On all key places in the land of Israel, at the crossroads, in all the key cities, he's calling out about God. In Beersheba, remember a couple of weeks ago? Like the Esher of Beersheba, he calls out in God's name. This week, Yitzchak, in Beersheba, builds a mizbeach like his daddy, like his father did, and calls out in God's name. Question. Kel Olam. Because the idea is. Yeah, so you're right. Everyone should praise God. And God would like everyone to praise Him. We say that Aleinu, Balkeinu Kavalacha. We hope that all B'nai Basar will call out your name. But as a catalyst to get all mankind to call it by God, we want, that's the end result we would like all mankind to do. Towards that goal, God chooses a nation to make it its business. In other words, they should because it's right. To them, it's good advice. To us, it's an imperative. In fact, the comment exactly all the different answers we have. We're commanded to do something so that all nations will get that advice. Everybody. It has to do with anyone who's human. As long as women are human, they have to. Because man has to recognize God. The assumption also is that believing in God, recognizing God, is not something intellectual, it's something behavioral. You see that also in Aleinu. Believing in God in Tanakh is not for Aristotle, the way I understand it. It's something behavioral. Someone who believes in God acts properly. If you said someone who's a rotten bum who doesn't act properly, he doesn't believe in God, no matter what he He doesn't understand God. He might believe in something there, but the biblical belief in God is something behavioral. It's an understanding that you're responsible for your behavior. No. Just like we said, someone's being commanded, there's also someone giving the command. Who's giving the command? Who's commanding the nation of Israel to sing God's praises? Is it one of the 613? That's count? Is there a pasuk that says we have to praise God? I don't think so. Anyone who learned all 613? There's a mitzvah to believe in God, to know God, to fear God, to love God. But where does it say that we're commanded to sing out His praises? So who's commanding us in the Sfera? The author of the Mizmor. Possibly either David or Asaph, depending on the source in Sefer. We'll see the source on the back page. The Mizmor, the psalm, is commanding us to praise God. The question was, why? What I want to show you in the Shir is that command, that Am Yisrael's responsibility to praise God, even though it's not a specific pasuk, it's a theme of Sefer Bereshit and later on in Chumash. And that's my point, that the book of Tehillim, we'll see the source in Tehillim in a minute, is coming and interpreting what Sefer Bereshit is about. Just like Isaiah does it later on, the whole theme of being a light to other nations, Yeshayahu talks about. There's a lot of psukim in Yeshayahu that reflect his understanding of the underlying theme of Sefer Bereshit. And here you have the same thing in Tehillim already, much earlier, where Sefer Tehillim is saying it's Am Yisrael's responsibility to talk about God and sing His praises. We have to learn now Tehillim Kufay to appreciate where it's coming from. Quickly. Do Lishmo. Okay, we're going to get to those psukim very soon. Well, okay, that sort of question, what comes first? Was Abram did it and therefore he was chosen? Or he was chosen to do that? We'll see that when we continue. I'll take that question in a minute. I'll take questions again. Good idea. Now, flip the page over. Instead of doing a whole analysis of the parak, we're just going to spill the beans and get to the formatted side. Save your eyes. What I have on the right is Tehillim 105, which sounds very similar to what we say in Davening. It's not exactly the same, but it's very similar. It's the same thing we saw on the eye test. Right, on the two-column page. Now it's formatted based on a 20-minute chair analyzing the pattern, as we just said. Now, what I have here is every chapter in Tehillim has a header, structure, and point. That's the rule of thumb. When you study Perek and Tehillim, look for the header, try to figure out the structure, and based on the header and the structure, you'll be able to understand what point the Mizmor was making. So the header is the first six or seven psukim, where it's Am Yisrael's responsibility to call out in God's name. And notice who's commanded? It's a classic parallelism. It's a tikbolet. Zera Avram Avdo, Ben Yaakov Bechira. Do you understand why those go together? Bechira means he was chosen. Avadav means his servant. We were chosen to serve God. The purpose of Bechira in Sefer Bereshit is Lavoret Hashem. It's all through Tfilah. God chose us to serve him. And Avram chose us. So that's the header, that it's Am Yisrael's responsibility to sing God's praises. The question is going to be, and that's the purpose of the shir, where is that coming from in Sefer Bereshit? We're going to see the answer is in Tehillim Kufay. To understand the answer, we have to try to identify what's the structure of the parak. Okay? Pasuk Zion is explaining who is this God that we have to praise. He's our God, our boss, the one who made a covenant with at Har Sinai, whose laws are for all creation, all mankind. Pasuk Chet begins something new. We'll read Pasachet together. It's nice and highlighted. Zachar le'olam brito, davar tzivah le'lefdor. Is that a statement or a command? Now you're afraid. Zachar le'olam brito is a... Who knows the Hebrew? It's a statement. Why is it a statement? Because it's a statement. What statement are we making? God remembers His covenant forever. But there's something tricky in that statement. God remembers His covenant forever. Who knows English? Why is that bad? God remembers His covenant forever. If it's forever, remember, the Olam is not always means forever. It's not a place. Not an oil. Olam is always in the realm of time. It should be God remembered His covenant in the past. Or He remembers His covenant forever. What's His past tense? We'll return to that question in about 10 minutes. But that's an opening statement. But I don't know what covenant it's talking about. Which psukim describe which covenant it's talking about? What covenant does God remember forever? Pasuk Tet, the one He made with Avram, and He made the swear with Yitzchak, and He established it with Yaakov for an everlasting covenant, promising the people of Israel the land of Canaan. Got that? Which covenant is that in Sefer Bereshit? How many candidates are there for that covenant? It's not the rainbow covenant, because that was with Noah and all mankind. It could either be Brit Ben Parim or it could be Brit Milah. Brit Ben Parim, if you remember, was about going down for 400 years into slavery and then becoming a nation in someone else's land. And the most important thing, coming out with the great wealth. The Rukush Gadol part, everyone remembers Brit Ben Parim? If we had a lot of time, I'd read it again, but I'm assuming you know that. So it's Brit Milah where God promises the land of Israel, and you'll be our God. It will be His people. It's more personal connection to God, where Brit Ben Parim is more historical. One's God's name is Devakim, the other one being Shem Elokim. We'll try to figure out what covenant it is in a minute. Pasuk Yud Bet is, when did God make that covenant? This is important. V'yotam b'tei mispar kim'at v'garim ba. When did God make this covenant with our forefathers, with Abraham, and Yitzhak and Yaakov? When they were small in number, and like nothing, and strangers in the land. Meaning, God picked our forefathers to be a nation, promising them lots of children in the land, but He made that promise before we had nationhood, before we had land, before we had people. That's why they're called Zera. There's a seed. A seed is nothing. It's a little nothing, a seed. But later it turns into a tree. But there's potential in that seed to grow into a tree. But God gave it that potential to become a nation, to grow into a nation at the seed level. God didn't pick a ready-made nation. He plants the seeds, like to say, He clones a nation in Sefer Bereshit. Like the first test tube baby. Test tube nation. Now, the next section is complicated, but should ring a bell from davening. By Tuchumi Goy Agoy, they went from nation to nation, from kingdom to kingdom. God didn't let anybody oppress them. He yelled at kings about them, don't touch my appointed one, and don't do anything bad to my prophets. What's that describing? Who's going from... What time period in Jewish history is that describing? When we say this in Davening, what are we thinking about? Besides when it's going to be over. What are we thinking about when we say that? Who's going from nation to nation, from people to people? Is it from Europe to Poland, from... But I come from Riverdale to Tina. But who's going from where to where? Yeah. It sounds like Jewish history, but it's not. Here's talking about our forefathers, who went, remember, they went to Pharaoh in Egypt, they went to Abimelech, Yaakov and Laban, and what did God do? He watched their back. Why did God watch our back, the backs of our forefathers? Why did He yell at Abimelech, and why did He save Avram from Pharaoh, and why did He save, yell at Laban and save Yaakov from Laban? Because of the covenant He made with him. We're making a statement of what did God do? He remembered His covenant. Let me show you one more line, you'll see what it is. Look from Psukim Chaf until, I'm sorry, from Tet Zayin till Chafet. It's about a famine in the land, and someone was sent ahead. Yosef is sold as a servant, and he became a big shot. What story is that? Or what musical is that? Okay. That's the story of Yosef and his brothers, and Yosef becoming a big shot. What does this story, what does this history lesson have to do with our opening statement? Our opening statement was, and that's the structure of the parak. We make a statement. God remembers His covenant forever. And now we prove it. God made a covenant with our forefathers. That's why He took care of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov in their peril. That's why He took care of Yosef and made him a big shot in Egypt. And that's why He was watching to make sure it had a happy ending. Of course, we had to be involved to make it happen. But God is watching our back the whole time. For what reason? Because God remembers His covenant forever. Look at the next line. Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Yisrael comes down to Egypt. The nation of Israel is living in the land of Ham. Ham, the son of Noach. Mitzrayim is the son of Ham. Do you know your genealogies? They became fruitful and multiplied in that land. Pasuk Chaf Hei. But then in Egypt, the nation of Egypt began to hate them and enslave them. Sound familiar? If you didn't catch on yet, what covenant are we talking about? One more line. Go to the top. Right, yeah. Pasuk Chavav. Shalach Moshe Abdo V'aron Asher Bacharbo. Samu Bam Divrei Otot U'Moftim Ototav U'Moftim Be'eretz Ham. Shalach Hoshe. Take a look from Chavchet to Lamed Vav, and what do you find? Right? How many? 8 out of 10, but we're close. Which ones are missing is a fun shift. Why are we mentioning the enslavement in Egypt? And why are we mentioning the miracles that God brought coming out of Egypt? It's clear now what covenant we're talking about. It's got to be Brit Ben Parim. And let's go back now to our opening statement. God kept his promise. Zachar l'olam v'ko. God keeps his promise of Brit Ben Haptarim forever. And what did he do? Because of Brit Ben Haptarim, that's why he took care of our forefathers. And that's why he took care of Yosef. And that's why he made him a big shot. And that's why we ended up in Egypt. And that's why we got enslaved. And that's why we got saved. And that's why we brought the Makot. And that's why we have most of Chumash. At least up until Sefer Shemot. From what you remember in Sefer, in Brit Ben Haptarim, when is Brit Ben Haptarim over? Does it have a time limit? Is there any time? Is there like a what's that thing in Wizard of Oz? What's that thing? That little clock, the sand thing, the hourglass. That's it. What's it? Is there an hourglass in Brit Ben Haptarim? Of course there is. What is it? There's a 400-year hourglass. And if you read Chumash, the way it sounds, it looks like Brit Ben Haptarim is a one-time covenant, and it finishes after 400 years. And by within 400 years, God has to fulfill it. But once it's over, it's over. When is it over? When we come out of Egypt. When is Brit Ben Haptarim over? When is the covenant over, according to Chumash? In Sefer Tetzav. Just getting out of Egypt? Someone who's into freedom, a humanist, would say getting out of Egypt, that's the end. Freedom. If you're a Jew, if you're a yeshiva bacher, it ends with Har Sinai. If you're a Zionist, it ends with conquering the land of Israel. But sooner or later, it's over. That's in Pasuk Yitzchak. On that day, God made a brit with Avram. The Zarchana Tati Taretz Hazot. And the whole background there is Yerusha, the conquest of the land. So it should be over when we get the land. That makes a lot of sense. The Mizmor is saying something much bigger than that. What's it saying? It's what's called a chiddush. The Brit Ben Haptarim is not a one-time covenant. It's an eternal covenant. That's exactly why it says Zachar Olam. But why past tense? It should have been a one-time covenant. Why? Why should it be a one-time covenant? There's no need for it to be longer, because once we get the land, God has to take us. God has to make us a nation. We become a nation in someone else's land. We go through suffering and God saves us. He redeems us with great wealth, and he gives us the land and helps us conquer it. Once that's done, I don't need it anymore, because I have a nation now in the land. I have Brit Milah to continue. I have Brit Sinai. I don't need Brit Ben Haptarim anymore. So it should be a one-time cup. It should be Zachar. What question comes up, though? What happens should Chas V'Shalom, the nation of Israel, go into exile? Then what will happen? Will God continue to watch our history? What fundamental statement is this Mizmor making? Zachar la'olam. He remembered it, but he remembers it forever. It should be one time, but it remains forever. We drink in this at the Seder, don't we? How do we drink in this at the Seder? We lift up our cups after mentioning, remember, we thank God, we thank God for keeping Brit Ben Haptarim, we quote it, and then we sing, V'hi shamdal avotein avolam. V'hi, that promise of Brit Ben Haptarim, the Zaha, of the covenant, of Avram Avinu, of Brit Ben Haptarim, of Geriyaz, Yodo Dedat, and Geriyaz Aracha, that covenant stood up and protected who? Them and us. Why? It wasn't only one time in Jewish history when we were oppressed and enslaved and taken advantage of. It happens over and over again in Jewish history. Why? Why does God save us? Because of Brit Ben Haptarim. That's a fundamental statement, which is part of the Seder. But what I try to show you is this Mizmor of saying that Brit Ben Haptarim is eternal, not a one-time covenant. Even though when I read Chumash, I might think it's a one-time covenant. But it's eternal. But there's another question. Most covenants are one-sided or two-sided. Most covenants are two-sided. When I read Brit Ben Haptarim, it appears to be one-sided. Who is responsible to make sure Brit Ben Haptarim happens? It's God. God watches our history. We know the purpose of the covenant, to get the land to become a nation. But are there two sides to Brit Ben Haptarim? We're saying in the Mizmor that God keeps his side and watches our history and makes sure we get out. But what's our side of the covenant? No, that's the purpose. Listen, the last line will be the purpose. The purpose of the covenant is to make us a nation so we can keep his laws. I'm not asking what's the purpose of the covenant. I'm asking what's our side of the covenant. Right? Yeah, I'll bring a bad example, the one Chazal used, comparing it to marriage. I teach too much in seminaries. What can I do? Listen, in a marriage, there's the purpose of marriage, to have a family and children, but there's obligations in the marriage of both sides. Some people won't. And what are the obligations? Each side has obligations. Now, if I take that analogy to here, the purpose of the covenant is to be a nation representing God. That land be a nation. And how do you become the nation? That's the laws of the Torah. But what's our mutual obligation as God watches our history? To what extent He watches our history, how hard we suffer, and how quickly He redeems us, that's up to God. But what do we do? That's exactly the Mizmor. That's the Chiddush of the Mizmor. What do we need to do? Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo. That's a bombshell of what the Mizmor is saying. It's saying that what's our obligation as God's partner in this covenant? As God watches our history, we have to recognize His hand in history and sing His praises. If you ever wanted to share Yom HaTzmaut, there's that. Follow about saying hello on Yom HaTzmaut. Do you want a source? Throughout Jewish history, what do we need to do? We need to constantly talk about God and sing His praises. What enables us to do that? His involvement in our history. But if we don't look for that involvement and don't see it, don't recognize it, I can't fulfill it. The better we sing God's praises, and the better we recognize His hand in our history, and recognize His guiding hand, the more reason that's giving God to save us. Look at it logically. Look at the strategy of tefillah. God has, most of our tefillah, if I want to use a modern statement, is, yes, He can. Listen to Shmon Esrei. What do we say? Yes, He can heal the sick. Yes, He can bring us prosperity. Yes, He can give us redemption. The fact that He can doesn't mean that He will. But the fact that I recognize that He can is a reason for me to turn to Him in prayer. That's what prayer is about, the belief that God can do everything. But if I want God to do that, I need to convince Him it's worth His while to do that. If God is convinced that we're sincere, that if He comes and saves us and gets involved, we'll recognize His hand in history and thank Him accordingly and keep His laws the right way, that gives God a very good reason to involve for our good. And therefore, if we want God on our side, that's part of tefillah. The problem is, and the biggest problem is, we have to be sincere in what we're saying. But how do you solve that problem? How do you become sincere when you do that? What do you have to do? You have to be sincere. That's the rough part. Or you have to at least understand what you're saying. So what I'm getting at is that Hodu is so fundamental to tefillah, and that's why it kicks off tefillah. Because it's saying that it's our responsibility in our covenantal covenant with God that God watches our history. Not the covenant of Mount Sinai about keeping His laws and being a nation representing God. That's a later covenant. That's an upgrade to tefillah. But the historical covenant with God's name and give up, God of history, who gets involved and can even do miracles, God says, yes, He can. He continues to watch our history. But to what degree He watches and how good it is for us is a function of our deeds. Not a function of our deeds, but a function of how we recognize His hand, not only of our deeds, but also how we turn to Him in prayer and recognize and sing His praises. To make sure we're aligned, what did the rabbis institute? Psukei Nesimah. We fulfill that every day, where we see the hand of God, at least in nature, and in historical events, we do it on the holidays. We said today, this was supposed to be a Rosh Chodesh. But Hallel? But we don't say Hallel every... Hallel on historical events, like Yetzet Mitzrayim, we don't say every day. We say that on big holidays. But Hallel on nature, we say every day. That's Psukei Nesimah. You pay attention. Psukei Nesimah, the hallelujahs at the end of Tehillim, are about nature and God, the God of day-to-day life. And the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tovim is the God of history. Now, if I continue the parak, that was the main point. Yeah, we're almost finished. No, we got more to do. There's a Hanukkah component coming in. But what I want to go and review again, what I want to show you in Tehillim Kufei, is that Tehillim Kufei is making a powerful point. The Brit Ben Aparim is eternal, and therefore God always watches our history. But it's our responsibility, it's our mutual obligation in this covenant, to recognize God's hand in history and constantly praise Him. Look for it and praise Him properly and accordingly. Now we have to get to what's the goal of the covenant, like you mentioned. We didn't read farther yet, but where should this historical lesson end? If I make a statement, God remembers His covenant forever, the first things of the covenant, where in our history should it end? Well, should it end getting out of Egypt? Should it end at Har Sinai? Should it end? So let's take a look and see where we go. We're up to the 10 plagues, aren't we? Pasuk Lamed Vav is the 10th plague, isn't it? Vayach Kol B'chor B'Eretz Me'artzam. What's the next stage? And this proves it's Brit Ben Aparim. Pasuk Lamed Zayin, V'yotzeim B'Kesef Zahav, V'im B'Shvatav Koshel. That's Ruchush Gadol. Sabach Mitzrayim B'Tzitam, Ki Nafal Pachtam Alehem, Prasad Al Masach, V'Yishayir Laila, Shov Yavi Slav, V'Lechem Shamayim Yezbiyem, Patak Tzur V'Yazubu Mayim, Hochu B'Tziot Nahav. What parsha is that? Water and food. It's Parsha B'Shalach. Parsha B'Shalach, we're not Nitro yet, are we? We're in B'Shalach. Pasuk Mem Bet. Look carefully. Ki zachar dvar kodesho et Avraham avdo. What did God do? What's ki mean here? It's always a key word. What's it doing here? It's summarizing, it's closing my statement. What was my opening statement? God remembers his covenant forever. Zachar l'olam b'riko. I finished my historical list of events, recognizing God's hand in our history of our forefathers. We're not in Har Sinai yet. But why did God take us up to Har Sinai? Because God remembered, what did he remember? Dvar kodesho et Avraham avdo. And who did he take out? This is the cutest part. Yotzi amo b'sason b'rinat b'chirav. Who did he take out? Avraham avdo, Yisrael, b'chirav. What's that going back on now? Look how masterful that last line is. When you look at the structure. Where do we have the idea of avdo and b'chirav? In Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav was the introduction. Who's responsible? Who's obligated to sing God's praises? Zerah Avraham avdo and therefore b'chirav. God remembered his covenant forever, and therefore who did he take out of Egypt? Yisrael avdo and Avraham b'chirav. Got it? And now he typed the introduction to the main point. The main point of the parak is God keeps his covenant. But the introduction was, it's our obligation to sing his praises. Therefore, who did he take out of Egypt? The same nation that's responsible for singing his praises. That's the taking some of your time that we said this morning is exactly based on that idea. Now, but what's interesting, we haven't gotten to Har Sinai yet, have we? And even worse, or better, I guess worse, we haven't gotten to the land of Israel yet. The two key events. Of course they're going to be there, but those are eternal. And therefore, after God finished the first stage of Brit times, the Zachar, now we get to the Olam side. Why did God do this? He gave us the land and hard work of other nations. We inherited and conquered. The word Yerusha, like in Sefer Yoshua, that's conquest and sovereignty. For what purpose? In order that we keep his laws, that's what you were talking about. That's the purpose. The reason why God entered this covenant was to give us the Torah so that we would keep in the land to be a nation representing God. Again, that's the purpose. But the specific covenant about watching the history, that's written in Karim, and there our mutual obligation is to recognize God's hand in history and sing his praises. The word Bavur, the last line, is right on the mark. And I think, again, this is already another example of commentary on Chumash. A lot of commentators claim that this chapter in Tehillim, Kufay, was written as the first Haggadah. If you want a short little Haggadah for the second Seder or something, you're probably better off with this one than any other one. Why? Because what are we trying to do in a Haggadah? What pasuk obligates the whole Haggadah? The Gadat Elavim Chavim Olemor, we have to tell our children on the day that we're eating matzah. What do we tell them? Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeitim imitzrayim. And there's a big machloket. What do we tell our children? Did God take us out of Egypt so that we would eat matzah? Or I'm eating matzah because God took me out of Egypt. Do you remember Rashi, the famous Rashi in Ibn Ezra agrees? What do we tell our children? Did God take us out of Egypt so that we can eat matzah? Not just eat matzah, but keep all his mitzvot. Which is not maybe pshuto of the pasuk, it's definitely pshuto shall be pshuta shel Torah. It's not in the pasuk. In other words, we explain to our children, there's a reason why God got involved in our history. He got involved in history so that we would be his nation and have a reason to keep the laws. So, if that's shot in the pasuk, that's exactly this parak. Because this parak says, here's what God did for us. God took us out of Egypt, didn't he? Isn't this the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim beginning with what? When we tell the story of Yitzhak Mitzrayim in Haggadah, where do we begin from? Which is the Avol. But really begin with Yitzhak Mitzrayim, we begin with Terach and God taking Avraham Avinu. We begin with Brit Ben Haparim. We have to, because that's where the story begins. And therefore, when God fulfills Brit Ben Haparim, we begin the story with the covenant with Avraham Avinu and Sefer Bereshit. And it ends with our coming out of Egypt. And that's exactly what we just did here. Not only what do we do at the Seder? We have to tell the story and say hello. That's exactly the parak, isn't it? It tells a story and praises God while telling the story and talks about our eternal need to praise God. And therefore, many commentators think this was written for the Seder. And this is what they said during the first temple period. It makes sense in the time of the temple. The Seder we have is a Seder of exile. It talks about that we're out already. We're hoping to return. And that's why we bring, that's Asher Mikra Bikurim. That's why we do our Ramiya Vedavi. It's more complicated. It's not related to being an exile. No. That's Tilim Kufay. But that's not what we see every day in davening. It sounds like it, doesn't it? But if you look in your Siddur, this is not what we read. What do we read from? Reread from Divrei Yamim. From Divrei Yamim, the back page. And this got messed up. You need, for the sake of the shir, you need to sort of separate the pages. You're allowed to, it's okay, I guess, if you want to. Yeah. Hold them over later. The story here in Divrei Yamim, Aleph, Perek and Zayin, is the famous story of David HaMelech getting everything ready to build the house for God. That was his goal of his life. If you want the detailed shir, listen online to the shir we gave to the men an hour ago. It should be up by, now, knowing. Everything online. Don't they have everything online? Which I can't figure out why people even come to get it online. But all the efforts that David HaMelech did to build the Beit HaMikdash and how it relates to Beit HaMikdash, that was a previous share. It's easy to prove. In David's life, he brings the Aron to Yerushalayim. And he sets up a choir in Yerushalayim. And his next step is hopefully to build a house for God in Yerushalayim. That doesn't matter you, but your son. When they bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, David has a whole party. He gives out a food bag, a goodie bag, and pasa gimel. There's dancing. He gets shoot out by his wife, remember? And he gives it back. Then, and pasuk zayin. Vayomahu, on the day they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, Az natan David barosh lodot Hashem b'yad asaf v'yachav. Who was put in charge of singing God's praises in the tent that David set up for God, preparing for the Beit HaMikdash? Asaf of Tehillim. 15-20 Mizmori Asaf and Tehillim. He was head of David's choir. What Mizmor did they sing? Hodu Hashem, Kiru Bishmo. David fought many wars, didn't he? When David began his career, and when Sefer Shmuel began, Israel's history was a rock bottom. The Plishtim were all over the place, weren't they? Abonim. Israel was falling apart. We established a monarchy and it worked. But David HaMelech, by the time he finishes his career, the Plishtim are out of it, they're gone. Our borders are complete. He's even fighting up in Syria against Aram. He's been super successful. Who does he attribute the success to? To God. And therefore, he sings God's praises. The nation gathers together, and he wants to emphasize that. And therefore, what does he tell the people when they bring the Aram to Yerushalayim? And when he's setting up the choir in Yerushalayim, this is the time, as a nation, that we have to recognize the hand of God in our history and say, Hallel, Angem Atzmo. Now, Pasachet, Hodu Hashem, see what he reads? Hodu Hashem, Kiru Bishmo. It sounds just like our parrot, doesn't it? Now we have to play the famous shul game, the most popular shul game. What's the most popular game people play in shul? Right? It's called Correct the Bakore. Ever hear? It's a men's game. Correcting the Bakore. It's a fun game in shul. The Balkori reads, and the job of everyone is to correct them. Or yell at the people correcting who shouldn't. To fight about something. Now, I guess you have to take them apart to compare them. Line them up. Sort of line them up. Okay. Line up, it's Pasuk Chet in Divrei Yamim, lines up with Pasuk Aleph in Tehillim Kufay, doesn't it? On the iChart page. See that? Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo, it's identical. Watch how they match up. Line by line they match up. And again, look in your Siddur. We read from Divrei Yamim. We don't read from Tehillim. But it's almost identical. We say, Hodu Hashem Kiru Bishmo. It's always like Pasuk Chet. I'm looking at Divrei Yamim. Pasuk Chet, Tet, Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph is almost identical. We don't have time to play the game because we're late. But you match them up, it's almost identical, slight little changes. The big difference is Pasuk Tetvav. What does it say in Pasuk Tetvav? Zichru lo'olam brito davarti le'alef dor. What does it say in Pasuk Chet Bayas? Zachar lo'olam brito. Which looks like, pretty much the same thing. You know, the commentators say, you know, it's like Magdil Migdol, you know, in benching. Migdol Yishot Mako, Magdil Yishot Mako, and Shirat David. No, that's nothing thematically different. That's no big deal. But here, there's a big difference. Zechar lo'olam brito was a statement. Zichru lo'olam brito, what question am I going to ask? Is that a commandment or a statement? By now, everyone knows, that's a commandment. The Mizmor, the thing is saying, God remembered his covenant, which follows what? with an explanation and a proof how God kept his covenant. And therefore we get a whole history lesson. Here, David HaMelech has just brought Yeron to Yerushalayim. There's a national gathering. And what does he tell the people to do? You remember your covenant. Which covenant? Asher Kratet Abraham, which was let to Yitzhak. The same covenant that Tehillim Kufei was talking about. But if the opening line of Tehillim Kufei is correct, if Am Yisrael has to remember their side of the covenant, what do we need to do? We're not going to give now a history lesson. We're going to say what covenant it was and how it started. The covenant of God, Asher Kratet Abraham, which was told to Yitzhak. See what he does? He quotes what the covenant was. But if we have to remember our side of the covenant, what would we have to do? What's the opening line saying? We have to sing his praises. Hodul Hashem, Kiru Bishmo. Therefore, what should follow in that? What should follow in the story of Divrei Yamim? As soon as David says, as soon as the Levim tell the people, remember God's covenant, what should they do? They should bring, praise God. Where did they start doing that? We finished quoting from Tehillim Kufei up until Pasach HaBeah, don't we? And then what do we start with? Shlomo Karbach, right? Sichat Gemul? How did Kabbalat Shabbat get there? Everyone see Pasach HaGemul? Shiru L'Hashem Shkola Aretz Vashem Shoto Sapro Vagoyim Et Chvodo Bukhan Nifrotat Ki Golo Hashem. That's Tidim Tzadivav or Tzadizayim. That's from that's just from Kabbalat Shabbat. Kabbalat Shabbat is Tidim Tzadivav or Tzadivayim. What's that about? That's God's praises, isn't it? Why do we think Shiru L'Hashem Kola Aretz Shiru L'Hashem Baruch Hu Shmo? Because that's fulfilling what David told them, remember your side of the covenant, see who will love you more. How long does that praise go till? We read almost the whole parak, don't we? From Pasuk of Gimel all the way to where? Where does the niggun end? You remember Lamed Bet still the niggun? Aziran Kwa Tseyar? Up until Lamed Gimel, isn't it? You understand what happened?
David's fulfilling. David, in real life,
we're recording how David fulfilled his understanding of Tehillim Kufei.
It's our responsibility to see God's praise, especially God helps us in our history.
He has a national gathering. He tells the nation, start singing. It's a kumzitz for the nation. He explains why it's important to sing, like in camp. And afterwards, we have this, slow shira, fast shira, but everyone gets into it. And they start singing God's praise.
And they're fulfilling their covenant commitment. And that recognizing God's hand in saving your history, till now.
Then we switch in Pasuk Lamed Daled to another Pasuk. What's Lamed Daled? Hodu Hashem ki tov ki olam chasdo. Followed by Vimru Hoshienu. You see those two psukim? Look at Lamed Daled, Lamed Hey. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki olam chasdo. Vimru Hoshienu, Hodu Hashem kamsin man agoyim. See those two? You know where they're from? Go back to the eye chart test. To Kufei Kufav. Remember this one?
The eye chart. You know, when I say eye chart, you know what I'm talking about.
Look in Kuvav. Look at the opening line and the last line. What's the opening line? Hodu Hashem ki tov ki olam chasdo. What's the last line? Almost last line. Pasuk Mem Zayin. Hoshiyenu Hashem Eloheinu v'kapsin mein agoyim. You see what we're doing?
In Divrei Yamim?
First we're doing Shiru L'Hashem Shir Chadash. We call the whole Perek HaTehillim singing God's praises. And then we cheat and do another mizmor, Kuvav. But we cheat. We do the first line and the last line. I want to show you now why we're cheating and how important it is. Look in Tehillim Kuvav. It's the sister chapter of Tehillim Kufei. Almost the same size. What's the opening line of Tehillim Kuvav? Hodu Hashem ki tov ki olam chasdo. Commander statement. Right. Hodu Hashem ki tov ki olam chasdo
is a commandment with a reason.
It's good. It's a commandment. Praise God. And it's good to praise God. It's both reasons you gave. It's good advice, and it's also a commandment. But now, who's being commanded to praise God?
Does it say?
It doesn't say. But the next line is for Hanukkah. Because it's Chodesh Kislev today, isn't it? Starting? Isn't that a Hanukkah song? Mi yimaleh world. Oh, there's a mistake here. What mistake is in on the source sheet? Right? It says, instead of Mi yimaleh world Yisrael, what's it say? I don't know who made the source sheet up, but
how did mistake get in there? Or maybe the song is wrong. We all know that song? That song is a disaster. That's the most chiloni song, the most really anti-dati song you could write. It's saying we don't need God, we can do it ourselves.
It's Ted. Who's Goel Yisrael in Davening? It's that we can do it ourselves. That song is a disaster. So we have a minute, we sing it without understanding it and not knowing Tidin Kuvav, so it's okay. But if you know Tidin Kuvav, that song was written anti-Tidin Kuvav. Whoever wrote that song knew their Tanakh. And was anti-Dati. Now, is that a rhetorical question or a real question? What's the answer to a rhetorical question? If we're commanded to sing God's praises, how can we ask who can possibly sing God's praises? We have to. The question's not rhetorical, it's a real question. The question is, who's worthy to sing God's praises? Can anyone sing God's praises? You have to have a good voice, fine. Any other prerequisite? The answer is Matzah Kibbul. Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat, Oseh Tzedakah V'Chovei. And another Shirim Sefer Bereishit. Who is worthy of singing God's praises? Only someone who does Tzedakah Mishpat. Does that make sense, logically? If we're chosen to make God's name look good, we do it by how we act and by how we talk. If the nation singing God's praises is obnoxious and cheating and tricky and haughty, etc., then who needs those praises? That makes God look better. We're commanded to sing God's praises, and it's good. Honu Hashem ki tov, ki lo am chasdo. But because we're commanded to do it, we also have to understand we have to be worthy of doing it. And it's not enough to praise God, you have to act in a way that your praise is meaningful. And therefore, right after Tidim Kufay, which establishes it's on ourselves responsibility to praise God all the time, and we have to do that, and we need to do that, and it's a covenant obligation, we say it's pointless if you're not keeping Torah. If you're not doing Tzedek and Mishpat, what's the point? It's Echilo Hashem instead. Don't bother. And then we say, then David Davin says, remember how bad we were? And then we go through Jewish history again. You'll look at it later on your own. We go through another class in Jewish history about how bad we've been, how we've upset God all the time, and how God went out of his way to save us, even though we deserve to be punished, again, because of his covenant. Look at the end. It's all Jewish history, but all the bad parts of Jewish history. Yeah, it's come here. It's a great, if you want to give a test, have students like, read this paragraph and say where everything's coming from the Kodesh, and you don't have to write a test. But even though, look how it takes us right to the Tent of David, in Pasuk Mem Gimel. Pamim rabot yetzilein behema yamru batzatam. Over and over again, God saved us, and we kept on rebelling against Him. By Makub Abunam, by Arbitzalem, by Shomamit Minatam. Pasuk Mem, hey, we blow shofar to this, in Rosh Hashanah. Veskul hem pritom, by Nechem Kron Chasadav, from Rosh Hashanah Davini. Why did God save us? Because of our covenant. Even though we didn't deserve it, midat adin, He saved us midat rachamim. Vayiten otam lerachamim lifnei hashkol shoveim, He saved us. And now that He's saving us, we're giving God another. What's the strategy? Help us and save us again. Why? Hoshenu Hashem lekev v'kaptein min agoyim. If you save us, what will we do for you? Lodo v'shem kodshecha, what's it say? Lodo v'shem kodshecha v'shtabach b'tilatecha. And the next chapter is Kuf Zayin, is when we actually do it. Those who return from exile, sing God's praises. That's Tudum Kuf Zayin, if you know. The four people have to sing God's praises. Yomru Gulei Hashem. And three working together form a beautiful unit. Our time is up, but I want a quick summary. What I try to show you is how when you understand the theme of Sefer Bereishit, an underlying theme of Sefer Bereishit, and you understand what's happening in Jewish history in the time period of David, and you understand Tidim Kufay and Kuvav, you begin to appreciate what's happening in Divrei Hayamim, and how the Mizmor in Tidim Kufay, 105, which is written to the Seder, has tremendous meaning to our history, to how our relationship with God on a national level. It explains what Pesukei Nezimra is about in Davening, in our daily tefillah, and it helps us appreciate what we're talking about when we sing God's praises in Shul and we daven, and help us understand why Chazal chose Hudu L'Hashem Kiru B'Shmo to kick off Pesukei Nezimra, because Pesukei Nezimra is how we fulfill this obligation on a regular basis. Hopefully Hashem will listen to our tefillah and become meaningful. Yeah, questions I'll take now, yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Shalom Aleichem. Yeah? It's a lot, but it's a secular song. We don't need God, we can do it ourselves.
Yeah. We have leaders
I mean, you can make it from like, you know, remembering God, but...
If you remember the whole soul, it talks about the Guru Mahatma.
Yeah.
It's not empty God, it's just about the Guru Mahatma.
No, but it's,
helping us.
But it's a takeoff on Kidding Kung Love. It's a parody on it, for sure. For sure.
Most of us think of it as the crazy...
Yeah, yeah, but if you know its source, you know where the source is coming from. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, yeah. That's in Kuba, the Sefer Shoftim. Yeah. And then the cycle goes over again. Yeah. Same thing again. We don't learn from our history.